wish that for everybody, that every employee had the chance to work in an inclusive environment where they were valued, where the contributions were noticed, and where they could just thrive. But so many organizations are about checking off the box instead of embedding it into the organization. And you have to embed it. Otherwise, if you have a change in leadership or anything like that, it goes away.
You are listening to the Culture Coach Podcast. This is the place where CEOs and people-first leaders come to boost productivity, extinguish burnout, and cultivate a vibrant culture that reflects a fully integrated mission, vision, and core values. Get ready to take your culture to the next level. I am your host, Wendy Brand. Welcome back. This week, as we look at organizational culture, my guest and I talk about how an employer has the opportunity to look more at the whole person and meet them where they are in the workplace. This approach can only help productivity, profitability. During our conversation, we talk about two important topics, financial wellness and inclusivity. A former deputy mayor of Indianapolis and former director of human services in two large urban jurisdictions, Irma Neal has over 30 years' experience in managing human service programs in state and local government and corporate America. And she now has over 15 years' experience as a private business owner. Irma and I had a great conversation. We connected on several of our experiences from our childhood to life in the corporate world. I hope you enjoy this conversation. Welcome back to the Culture Coach Podcast. I've got Irma Neal with me today. Irma, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'd love for the audience to hear a little bit about you and your journey to where you are today.
Yes, I started my career in government as a frontline worker, actually, and then looked up one day and I was the administrator, and I've also led two large jurisdictions in two different places where we had to turn around bad situations. But financial wellness has always been my passion because it is not something that is taught in school. And so many people don't get to learn about money in the household. And so basically this journey, this passion started with my pastor asking me to do an 8-week course on financial literacy, from the basics all the way to starting a business, investing, all of that. And it started off with 100 people. And you know, you expect after 8 weeks for it to drop off, and at the end there'll only be two. Yeah. But the opposite happened. It just kept getting bigger and bigger. So the light bulb went on. Okay, this is a business, right? This is something that people really need. We started out individual coaching, but of course COVID changed that. We had to go to group coaching. But it became evident to us that the real driver should be organizations, employers, because they benefit. There is a great return on investment to companies who invest, as you know, as a whole, invest in their employees. And as you also know, so many, particularly our younger people, are stressed out about finances, and they really don't talk about it. They really don't have the knowledge to try to address it themselves. So employers are perfect to just have financial literacy workshops that will invest in their people and also give a great return on investment in terms of productivity, in terms of happier employees, in terms of retention. It's also a great way to attract new talent. Mm. And I'll just give you a personal example. I was at IBM Corporation. I was vice president at IBM Corporation. And one day a email came across my desk and it said, we want you to be something to the effect, we want you to be financially secure before you, as you leave IBM and in retirement and all that. And it said, so we're going to pay for one session with a certified financial advisor. Mm-hmm. I took them up on that. And it changed my life. And it also gave me a loyalty to that company that I find incredible to this day. I mean, that's been 20 years ago. And still, I'll tell anybody that one of the best employers I ever had was IBM, because they saw the whole me. They looked ahead to say, okay, how can we help this employee be better after she leaves us? And that's a real strong message that I think a lot of employers could take advantage of.
I had a similar experience, Irma, and I know I'm very fortunate because I've worked in a lot of organizations and it only happened one time where there was somebody on staff. Actually, it was our head of compensation and benefits, and he offered free financial coaching for anyone really that wanted it, you know? And so I did learn a lot more about investing. And I know in those, you know, in those early years when you're younger and you don't feel like you have a lot of money, and so the thought of investing feels really scary. Like, why would I give up any? I'm not going to give up any of this money.
Right.
but I too learned a lot, and that was that organization. That was one of the pieces they did, that their culture was just phenomenal. But that was one of the great pieces. And so, is there a move now more toward that? Are organizations starting to think about this?
Yes, organizations are starting to think about it, and as you know, there is a push to embrace the whole person. You know, back in the old days, we used to say, leave your personal business at, leave your personal stuff at home. Well, we know you can't do that. And so, yeah, there is a push toward doing it. You know, it's important that people understand how to spend the money they do have and how to invest in their future. And one of the myths is that it takes a whole lot of money. It doesn't. What it takes is planning and consistency. And so that's what, and then one of the major things we found in our 6 years of doing this is that there is a direct correlation between your mindset about money and you being successful. And so many people have these myths about money. So we start out with a money mindset quiz, which says, okay, it's 10 questions. What are your myths? What myths do you believe about money, right?
Yes. I love that you said mindset. I was hoping that you would. I think that it is, you know, we are all, at the end of the day, it's a bunch of humans showing up to work together, and we all have a story or baggage or something that we're bringing with us. And like you know, the mindset piece was not part of the financial wellness program that I attended 15 years ago. And I, you know, I had such a, because of my upbringing and the scarcity that I lived in, the lack, I felt like I needed to hang on to that money.
Right.
And so getting over that, I imagine, is probably a huge first step for a lot
Yeah,
of
that,
people.
funny you should say that, because what another part of our course is basically two mindsets: scarcity, which is when you grow up poor, like we did, because I grew up very poor, you feel like you got to hold on to it.
Yes.
Yeah, and then there's the mindset of a lot, plentiful, and you're more likely to take risk if you're in that group that shows, that's the other way. Abundance is what it is. So yeah, we go into all of that because you have to have your mind right in order to stick to any plan. You know, you've got to deal with the mindset first. So that's something we learned over time. And we like to say we want to create positive, sustainable change. That if years from now, we want you to remember that that company said, okay, these are the things I need to do to sustain the wealth, sustain my lifestyle, sustain the inclusion philosophy that we teach. So it's been real rewarding, but you know, we're having
Awesome.
a good time. Yeah.
Good. Well, for organizations that may not be able to bring in a consultant and implement a big program, are there things that you would tell, that you would advise organizations to do? Like one step, one small thing they could do for their employees in this area?
Well, I think first of all, I'd say that to bring the workshops to the workforce is not very expensive. It's not an expensive type of thing, but it there are e-learning modules available. Just a openness to listening. Employees, as you know, they will give us hints in their behavior as to where they are, as to what's going on with it. And when we as managers see that the productivity has slacked off, or they're acting out in a different way. I'll do an aside. I wrote a book, Leading in Chaos. It's Insights to Lead Through the Storms. It's what it's called. And I go into that about how the employee gives us cues about where they are. And it's the same with financial wellness. They may not tell you they're having financial difficulty because most of us don't talk about that to anybody, but just being open to the cues and being offering assistance probably, would go a long way to for most employees.
Yeah, that's great feedback. I think more and more we are asking leaders to be more of coaches, a sounding board. And I think you're right, just acknowledging, listening, checking in on them, and acknowledging them can go a long way. So tell me more about the program.
Yeah, it's called Money Matters Bootcamp. It's 3 1-hour sessions that can be done either remotely or in person. And from there, like I said, we start off with the mindset, and then image versus reality is our first session, where we get your mind ready to receive the information. Then we do the personal budget, savings, investing. We go delve deeply into our let's talk about credit, because there's been a whole industry that's grown up about how important your credit score is, but not many people know what that credit score means. And not many people know how to use it or manipulate. I hate that word manipulate, but understand it in order to make it work for you. So we spend a lot of time with that. And then the Money Matters Bootcamp is a prerequisite to the next phase, which is maintain. And that talks about what are the things you have to wrap around your finances to make sure if something catastrophic happens, you're going to be protected. And that talks about insurance, health insurance, 401k, 401b, whatever it is, that wrap around to keep you safe. And then the last phase is the investing part. What do you look for to invest? When are you comfortably able to invest and that sort of thing? So it's been pretty well received. We got great testimonials, and I hope you can see it's something I'm real passionate about.
Yeah, that's great. So your company is Onyx Rising, is that
That's
correct?
correct. Yes.
And you really have two lines of business, the financial wellness and the DEI. And so tell me how those are, how do you, re are those, are they two separate businesses completely, or are they related? How does that work together?
We say they're related because it's all about behavioral change. And it is looking at what each of us individually can do to bring about a more inclusive environment. And that my partner, Kelly, she has been in the business for over 30 years and is just nationally recognized as one of the best in DEI. But it's all about inclusion. It's all about everybody wanting to feel valued, wanting to feel, that they contribute. I say all the time, nobody gets up in the morning thinking, okay, I'm gonna go to work and make 15 mistakes today. Nobody does that, So when people make mistakes, we got to look at what growth can come out of the mistake. It's not about who's to blame. It's about how we fix it. And so that's one of the things that is really,
That's
really,
great. Yeah, I know that there is, I left my corporate role 2 years ago in October of 22, and in several organizations that I was in, they were, they would try these DEI initiatives, and I had yet to see something that was successful, in my 30 years of being in the corporate world. And So for me, when I was thinking about what does create a strong culture, you know, one of my pillars is inspiring inclusivity and belonging. And I feel like at the end of the day, like you said, nobody wants to show up and make mistakes. Nobody wants to go in and not bring value to the organization. Right. I mean, everybody wants to feel like they're contributing and, but also that they belong. And so, I like to think about things in more of a grassroots way and what are things you can do in the organization. I mean, the numbers aside of, you know, the representation and all of that, there's some importance there, but at the end of the day, really making people feel like they're a part of the team or that they belong. And sometimes that's just being nice.
You approach them, respect.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. The other thing about it is that I'm corporate America too, and we both left. So that says something, right?
Yeah.
But so many organizations are about checking off the box instead of embedding it into the organization. And you have to embed it. Otherwise, if you have a change in leadership or anything like that, it goes away.
Yes.
I'm going to give you another example from personal example is, again, IBM. That's the one place I've worked where it didn't matter what color, what you know, I was part of this small ragtag group of 15, two women, one white, I was the black, 13 men that were white, black, Hispanic, disabled, Indian. And we actually went from zero to $200 million in revenue, just that little group.
Wow.
But it was the first time and only time that it didn't matter. It was what you brought to the table, and it was the respect that each of us was given. Now, why did I tell you that example? Because we had a leadership change. And because that inclusivity was not embedded in the organization, the whole tone changed.
Yeah.
The whole tone changed. And what I do, I quit.
Yeah.
You know, if you go from feeling valued, you can't accept not going back to the old way. You just can't. I wish that for everybody, that every employee had the chance to work in an inclusive environment where they were valued, where the contributions were noticed, and where they could just thrive. And I'm taking that from you, the thrive.
Yeah, no. And I think, you know, part of what I've been trying to do is to create a framework that allows you to operationalize it, or like you said, embed it. Right. And so, like, if we could bottle up your experience there with that unique team, and, you know, use that as a base for how we build teams in the future, what would you say what was it that, you know, was it a skills selection? Was it, how did you all end up on that same team together? Do you recall?
Yeah, it actually was a federal mandate that that government agencies have automated computer systems. So that's what it was around. And it was around the skill set. It was basically what you brought to the table.
Yeah.
But what was unique about it is how each piece, there was respect for the other piece.
Right.
You know, that's the thing that was unique about it, you know, that we understood almost immediately that it took the whole of us.
Yes.
That none of us were able to do it alone. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. And you've said that word respect a couple times now. I think you're right. I think that's really the key to sustaining that.
And, you know, to me, I don't want to oversimplify it, but each of us know how we want to be treated.
Right.
You know, and so if we could just fill that with treating other people that way, I think that'd be a start.
Well, Irma, this has just been a phenomenal conversation. I love what you're doing in both of these spaces, in both DEI and the financial wellness space.
Well, I would just like people to know that we are having a free Money Matters boot camp for business owners, HR professionals, schools. We do work with charter schools. training their staff on financial wellness. So we're having a free Money Matters Boot Camp on October 29th from 12 to 1. We'd love for you to join us. We go into deeper about the return on investment for employers who want to offer this financial wellness to their employees. So we would love to have you join us if you have a moment to do so.
And I'll put the information in the show notes, but tell us how can they find this and sign up?
It's Onyx to our website, onyxtorise.com, and there's a link there for signing up for the free webinar.
Any last thoughts for our
Well, I'll
listeners?
just say it's been a real pleasure to meet you, Wendy.
Thank you.
I see so much synergy between us in terms of
Yes.
our backgrounds and what we've gone through. So I feel like I just got a new friend.
Me too. All right. Well, thank you
Okay.
so much for being here. We'll put
Thanks.
all your information in the show notes and get them to that
Okay.
boot camp.
All right. Thank you so much. You have a
Thank
great
you.
day.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, here are my takeaways. Number one, there is a direct correlation between your mindset about money and your level of success. Number two, you are more likely to take risks if you have an abundance mindset. Number three, nobody wakes up and says, "What kind of mistakes can I make today?" Number four, you have to embed inclusivity and belonging, or it can go away with a leadership change. Number five, respect is the key, understanding that it takes the whole of the team and not just the individual. That's it. Check out the links in my show notes to get access to Irma's upcoming boot camp and learn more about the work that she does. Thank you so much for listening again this week. I hope you have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you next time.